We started this series called Share, and a couple of Sundays ago, we talked about opening our eyes, having to, you know, get our focus off of our own issues or our own challenges or our own difficulties. And I know they are many. I know we could work full time on our own challenges, because all of us are facing challenges. All of us, it feels, seems like, are in the heat and dealing with the difficulties of life. But we're opening our eyes to realize, wait a minute, I have a source. I have an answer. I know how to get what I need from God. I've got to help someone else. I've got coworkers or family or neighbors or school friends, people that I was raised with, or maybe people that I'm related to, and I see them stumbling their way through life, and they don't even know where to take that challenge. They don't know where to go with that difficulty, and so I'm opening my eyes to see how I can help them and how I can share what it is I have found and what it is that I know to be true in my life. And then last Sunday, we talked in week two about others. The Bible said that they brought the lame and the blind and the crippled and many others. We understand now that the Lord is helping everyone. It's not just those with the obvious needs. It's those with the internal needs, the needs no one seems to ever see or even know anything about. And all of it stems from that statistic that is still shocking to me, that 50% of young Christians believe it is immoral to share their faith. Folks, we have something to share. I know the enemy would love nothing more, coming out of pandemic times, coming out of crazy times, walking into uncertain times with wars in Ukraine and Russia and all of that heating up. I don't know if you're paying attention, but not only our president, but the president of Russia, they both have been using the word nuclear in the last few days, and each of them saying that they are willing to go nuclear in this war. It is very, very concerning. These are challenging times that we are living in. And today is not, it's not a heavy day. It's not a day for you to, you know, feel overwhelmed in all of that. But we also have to keep a finger in the air to be aware of which way the wind is blowing and what is happening and the things that are swirling around us. This is not a time to be timid about sharing my faith. Because I want everyone in my life, I want everyone in my world, I want everyone with whom I have some measure of influence in their life, I want them to be saved. I don't want to just assume it's all going to work out for them. I don't want to just hope that it's all going to be okay. I want to have that know-so salvation. I want to know. I want to feel confident and be secure and be strong. And so we have something to share. We have something to share. And I want to talk to you today, this message called Fill the House. And I love because when I see God do something, he does it all the way. Doesn't do anything halfway. Doesn't do any partial jobs. There are no band-aids. He does it all the way. In Genesis, the Bible said that he created the waters, and then he filled the oceans with life and marine life and all of those things. He created the sky, and then he filled the sky with birds of every kind. I saw the most beautiful blue jay in my backyard this week, and I was so glad I didn't have anywhere I had to be in the next 5 minutes. I didn't have my phone in my pocket or in my hand. It was in the house. I was just able to just sit and watch and stare at this gorgeous blue jay that was just eating our seed and bathing in our bird bath and just having the time of its life. And it's amazing. God created the sky and then he filled it. And you know what? He created man, and then he told man, I want you to go and fill the earth. I want you to be fruitful and multiply. And so man begins to populate the earth. And now the Bible said, Isaiah 6 and 3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. We are his glory, but it's also the glory of the Lord that fills the earth. I know sometimes because we have such an intake of bad news, we have such a steady diet at such a heavy volume of negativity that it's hard for us to imagine that the earth is filled with the glory of God. But wait a minute, crime is up in all of our cities. How is the earth full of his glory? His earth is full of people like you and I that know and understand and believe what the answer is for the world today. And we have the opportunity to share our faith with people. We can make a difference in someone's life. Pastor Darrell, when are we going to talk about us again? I mean, I want to talk about me. I need you to preach about the struggle that I'm going through. Listen, I want you to understand something today, that when you get involved in other people's lives, somehow you'll just realize that whatever it is you were facing has been resolved and taken care of, because you're being his hands and being his feet in the earth. Luke chapter 14 is where I want to spend just a few moments today. Luke 14, beginning at verse 16 and 17, and then we'll move around a little bit in this 14th chapter. But Luke 14, Jesus replied, verse number 16, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. So you understand that Jesus used parables. He told stories, and he would present these stories, but always they had another meaning. He was using examples, or what we know around the church are parables. It is stories. Sometimes it was real people. A certain man, the Bible would say, and particular people. Other times he was creating a word picture that would relate to them, and that they would understand better a principle that he wanted to teach and that he wanted to get across to them. So a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. So he's trying to tell them, look, I am the certain man who is preparing a great banquet. I'm preparing this great reunion, homecoming, this great heaven going in eternity, and I want there to be many guests. At the time of the banquet, verse 17, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. I know I've been telling you that we were all going to have dinner together. I know I've been telling you that we were all going to meet in the sky one day and we were going to live together in eternity. I want you to go and tell everyone who has been invited that time has come. I want you to go and tell them, all the people that have been invited, everyone that you've shared faith with, everyone who you've been telling, hey, God is good and he loves you. I want you to go and tell them that time has come for us to sit down at that great feast in glory. Let's go and spend eternity with Jesus. And the next couple of verses, I don't have them on the screen for you, but you can see them right there in your Bible. They begin to give all of their excuses and reasons as to why they cannot attend this banquet. One of them says, I just bought land. I need to go and see it. Our modern terminology, I just bought a house. I don't have time to come on Sunday right now. I need to get my new house ready. Another one of them said, I just bought a yoke of oxen. I just got a new car, and this beautiful weather, I need to go drive, and I need to break it in. I'm planning to just, I don't know how you go joyride at these gas prices, but I just got a yoke of oxen. I need to go try them out. I need to go see how they run. I need to see how fast they'll go. And yet another one said, I just got married. I mean, come on. I just got married. I don't have any time for this right now. But it's all of the excuses that people come up with, all of the reasons that they come up with that now is not the time. This is not the day. Maybe next Easter. Talk to me a year from now. I just don't know if I'm ready, to come and be a part of a church right now. There's just so much in the news, and there's scandal, and there's just so much negativity, even about churches. I just don't know if now is the time for me. And so verse 21, the servant, that's you and I, the servant came back and reported this to his master. Hey, I'm meeting people. I've invited them to come to the banquet, but they're telling me that they're too busy. They're telling me that they have too many other things going on. They're telling me that they're too busy with life. They cannot come. So the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. All of those people that we preached about last Sunday. I want you to go get all of those people with the obvious needs and the obvious challenges and the great difficulties they ought to be ready. They're tired of carrying their struggle around. They'll be ready to come and sit down. And the servant said, sir, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. We've gone and invited all of those people. We've wheeled them in. We've brought them in. We've set them up in the banquet room. All of that has been done, but there is still room. Someone say, fill the house. Then the master told his servant, verse 23, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Somebody say, fill the house. So what we see this morning is that it is our responsibility to fill the house. But it's God's responsibility to fill the people in the house. It's our responsibility to fill the house. It's God's responsibility to fill the people in the house. Sometimes I think we struggle with and we, I'm going to get them here and then what? Then what? I've got to explain this and I've got to give reason for that and I have to make sure that this is understood. Actually, I don't have to do any of that. The Bible said to be ready with an answer. I'm not going to argue with anybody. I just want to get people in the presence of God and then let the presence of God do its beautiful and incredible work. If I can just get people into the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've been around this all of my life. I've seen a lot, experienced a lot, but I am still amazed by the presence of the Lord. I'm not over it. I'm not tired of it. It's not old hat to me. I feel it right now. You say, Pastor, what do you feel? Literally, I feel chill bumps all over me right now. Doodads, I call them, running up and down my spine. The hair on the back of my neck is standing on end. Oh, you just preaching. No, I'm telling you the truth. It's what I feel right now. It is the tangible presence of God. I've been a lot of places and never been able to reproduce what I feel right now. I am addicted to the presence of the Lord. I want to feel it every day of my life. I want to experience this. And I want everyone else to experience this. I want to share it so that others can feel what I feel and experience what I have experienced, so that their life is not going to be perfect, but it can be so much richer and so much fuller and so blessed. I want to share what I have. But in order for it to happen, I've got to get them into the room and then pray that God will do what he does best in their life. So if we consider our responsibility to fill the house, then here's just a few things around that that will help you kind of understand that, give some practicality to that. Number one, every servant should be a bringer. Every servant. I'm a servant. I'm a servant of the Most High God. Every servant should be a bringer. And that kind of messes with us, because we start talking about, you know, our personality type. I'm shy, you know, I'm introverted, and I don't meet people well. I'm telling you, just like you are, just who you are. No one trying to make you anyone that you're not. No one trying to force you into some extroverted, outgoing, loud, or boisterous type person. God has someone in your world that you have influence with, that you can share with, because every servant should be a bringer. Andrew in the Bible was a bringer. Andrew was Simon Peter's brother. Peter is the one who sort of gets all the credit. He's the one we know the best. He's the one, you know, who was there on the day of Pentecost saying, hey, these men are not drunk as you suppose. Peter really was the pastor of those first years of the early church, the Book of Acts church being born. Peter was in prison. We know Peter, but there would be no Peter without his brother Andrew bringing him. Andrew was obviously not as loud as Peter was. He obviously was not as tempered as Peter was. He obviously was not as outgoing as Peter was. Peter is cutting off the ears of soldiers in the Garden of Gethsemane when they put hands on Jesus. Andrew was not even there. But hear me, the reason that we have Peter leading the church, the reason that we have Peter doing all that he did in those first few chapters of the Book of Acts is because Andrew was a bringer. Andrew said, you know what? I know who needs this. My brother needs this. My neighbor needs this. My coworker is exactly who Jesus is looking for. And so he brought Peter to Jesus, and Jesus did the rest in Peter's life, because every servant should be a bringer. Andrew not only brought Peter, but he brought the lad. When Jesus was wanting to feed the thousands of people on the hillside, he's looking for food. He's asking the disciples, where can we go to buy bread? And they're all at a loss. They have no idea what to do. And Andrew comes bringing a lad and said, Lord, he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Why? Because Andrew is a bringer. He's a bringer. We don't know anything about a great personality. We don't know anything about a loud, booming voice. We don't know anything about special, you know, preacher protocol or anything. We just know that Andrew is a bringer. Let me ask you this question today. Who has God placed in your life that you are supposed to bring? Who is it in your life right now? Who's in your life that God has positioned you? God has positioned you in a place of influence. I'm not saying you're their boss or you're their supervisor, but you just have influence in their life. They listen when you speak. They're curious your thought on the matter. They just want to know how you think about what's going on. They're curious your take, your opinion. What can you contribute to this conversation? Please don't miss that moment, because they're not just wanting to know your thoughts on politics or your thoughts on things happening in the world. They also are in a position that they will hear what you have to say about the goodness of the Lord. So God, help me to recognize that I'm supposed to bring that person. They're more than a coworker. They're more than a neighbor. They're more than an in-law. They're more than just someone I was put into English class with. This is someone that I have the opportunity to bring. So my prayer today is, Lord, I may have mislabeled them. I may have labeled them just a casual acquaintance when you actually were putting them in my path. Open my eyes so that I can be the difference in their life. Because every servant should be a bringer. Everybody was gone the other night, and so I ran into one of our fine fast food establishments. And I was in line while my food was being prepared, and a young man came in the line behind me, and he wasn't loud. He wasn't putting his business out there. He wasn't, you know, probably maybe even embarrassed. I don't know, but he asked the employee that was wanting to help prepare his food as well, what can I get for $7? What can I get for $7? And the employee wasn't picking up and understanding and looking. He's, I'll get whatever you want, you know. I mean, I know there's limits here. There's only so far my money can go. I can only do so much with this, and they're feet away from me. But I hear this, and I feel that nudge. Daryl, this is an opportunity. It's not just happenstance that you happen to be in the same restaurant at the same time or in line at the same. It's not just happenstance that you were hearing eavesdropping, nosy as you are. It's not just happenstance that you're hearing that this guy doesn't have enough money to eat what he wants to eat. So he's preparing that. And I told the cashier, put his on mine. He never heard me say that. He didn't know I was doing that. Put his on mine. And so I paid double or triple or whatever it was that my bill was going to be, because it was an opportunity to be in the same space and the same place. Sometimes bringing someone, sometimes sharing faith. There may be an investment involved. It may cost me a few dollars, but can I tell you, if that young man gets everything that he needs from God, what is $7 more or $8 more or $9 more out of my pocket? Jesus said, you cannot even give a cup of cold water for me and me not repay you. Listen, there is a blessing to helping people. Every servant should be a bringer. Who does God want me to bring? I want you to think about that. I want you to open your mind to that, your spirit to that. Who is God wanting me to bring to church this Easter? Who is God putting in my path? Here's number two. Get ready. Bringers won't take no for an answer. Bringers won't take no for an answer. In fact, Jesus said, I want you to compel them to come. Make them come. Compel literally means to force. It means to wrestle with them, like getting them by the arm and saying, no, you're going with me, like you do your kids sometimes. Can you imagine doing that to a coworker? Can you imagine doing that. Listen, students, if you try to do that at school tomorrow, they'll probably expel you. They'll completely misunderstand. So it's not literal. It's not literal that I'm going to go get my arm around their neck and drag them. Please, I don't want to see anybody coming from our parking spaces with anyone in handcuffs or anyone on a leash or anyone in a headlock. Please don't bring them to church that way. So how do I compel them? How do I make them come? I wonder if we could make them come because of our love, because of our kindness, because we are willing to serve their need. I mean, the Bible said that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. I wonder if our goodness to other people could lead them to their repentance experience. I wonder if we could compel them through our love and our kindness and our serving heart toward them, and them have to look at us and say, you know what, you have been so good to me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Yeah, I'll go to church with you because I see you being such a good person and such a kind person and such a fair person and such a just person. I want to be around you. So if you tell me the reason you have all of this is because of what God's done in your life, then I want to know the same God that you know. And guess what just happened? You just shared your faith. And it made a difference in someone else's life. Bringers won't take no for an answer. Now listen, we're going to do everything decent and in order. We're not going to argue people into the house. We're not going to fuss people into the house. We're not going to anger people into the house. Put all that aside. I know that's the way of the world right now. Everyone is offended. Everyone is mad. Everyone is upset. Everyone feels like they are being wronged about every subject imaginable. And here you are, not getting into the mud with people, not getting into the fight with people, but you're just being constant and consistent and saying, you know what, there's a higher call in my life. There's a higher plan for my life, and God has a higher plan for your life as well. And I can't take no for an answer because God put me in your life for a reason. Here's the third one. Bringers won't stop until the house is full. Bringers won't stop until the house is full. Now hear me, a full house is a mindset. It's not a number. The prophet told that woman who was in crisis, he said, go and find empty vessels, go find empty jars. And as long as she was bringing empty jars, the oil was still flowing. But as soon as she ran out of empty jars, the Bible said she borrowed not a few. That's what King James says. She was going to neighbors. She was going to everybody, getting as many jars as she could. We don't know how many there were. We just know as long as there were vessels, as long as there were empty vessels, as long as there was something for God to fill, then he was filling them. I don't know what that number is. I don't know if God wants us to be a church of 1,000 in this community, or if he wants us to have other campuses in cities all around us. I don't know exactly. I know I've got plans. I know I've got vision, but whatever it's going to be is what it's going to be, and it'll become whatever it is that it will become, because we keep bringing empty vessels into the room and saying, Lord, we want the oil of your spirit to keep filling people and to keep changing people's lives. And if we have empty vessels, if we have people who are empty because of what life has done to them and what challenges have done to them, if we bring empty people in that say, I don't know where to turn, I don't know where to go, I don't know what to do, I'm in Christ. If we'll keep bringing empty people, God will continue to fill them. And then if it's two services or three services or multiple campuses, whatever it is that God wants to do, if we'll keep bringing empty people, God will keep filling them up. Somebody say, fill the house. Because bringers will not stop until the house is full. He said, I want you to keep bringing empty vessels because I can't allow me to be wasted. There was no part of that conversation where oil just continued to flow into nothing, just wasted onto the ground. No, as long as there was a vessel, oil was flowing. Because God will not waste himself. He will not waste miracles. He will not waste revival. He will not waste. And so if we continue to bring empty vessels, why? Because God still counts by one. He still counts by one. I know there's lots of people in this room, and there's people watching online, and they'll watch all through the week, but God still sees the one, the one, the one, the one, the one, the one, the one. Do you know the Bible said that he has the hairs of your head numbered? He knows how many have fallen out of your head, Barry. It's a lot. He's a big God. Proof that God is big. He has them numbered. That doesn't mean he just knows how many you have on your head, Brian Banks. He's got them numbered. That means if you lost one in the shower today, he knows which one it was. That's an unbelievable God. That's how much he cares about us. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he is interested in the very smallest details of our life. So if God cares about that, of course he cares about our marriage, our finance, our teenagers. Of course he cares about every aspect of our life. So he still counts by one. Who is your one? Who is your one? What would happen if everyone in this room today, just those in the room today, we have more that are a part of our church. We just don't all come on the same Sunday. But what would happen if just everyone in this room would think of one, that one? I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit until I reach that one. Well, instantly, we wouldn't have enough chairs. We'd have to bring in more rows. And it would be more services. Because God counts by one. And when we start praying for the one, when we start believing for the one, that's what's out on the wall today. God still counts by one. You'll see it as we dismiss today. What I want you to do is write the name of your one on the wall. Some have already started this morning. It's the one time in your life that you're going to write on the wall and not get in trouble for it. I know it's going to go against everything you were ever taught. But I want you to write the name of the one. You don't have to do first and last. It could be their first name because God knows exactly who they are. First name and a last initial if you want. And these are not people that are way off across the country. These are people that we can reach right here. Newton, Rockdale, Walton counties. These are people that we can get to and people that can get to us. Who is your one? Who is it that God has placed in your life? I dare you to write their name on the wall. It can be over the next few weeks as we make way toward Easter. It can be our own internal wailing wall. I walk by that wall multiple times a day. I'm going to spend time praying at that wall. Our Tuesday prayer, spend time praying at that wall. You, as you come in and out of the building, and on Sundays, pray at that wall. You don't even have to know who Michael is. You don't even have to know who Corey is. You don't even have to know who Jeff is. I'm just praying. I'm asking God, because the more prayer I can push toward that individual, God knows exactly who they are. Bringers, they won't stop until the house is full. So it's our responsibility to fill the house. It's God's responsibility to fill the people in the house. It's his banquet, after all. He's the only one who can fill people. Back to Andrew for just a moment. He couldn't save Peter. He could just bring Peter to Jesus. But Jesus did, and the rest is history. He couldn't feed the 5,000, but he could bring the boy with a lunch to Jesus. And Jesus could take the loaves and fish, bless, break, and multiply. And everyone leaves satisfied and full. It's our responsibility to get them to Jesus and allow Jesus to get them into Jesus. Church kids having fun. I love it. They apologize all the time. We're sorry. No. Be loud. Have fun. Share Jesus. Train them up young. I was preaching a few weeks ago, Houston. And getting ready to leave, I was in the office there. Jude was with me and getting my stuff together, and the pastor was excited about the day. A bunch of people got saved that day, and tremendous response in the altar and so many good things. And he said, man, I just finished talking to a guy in our church. And he said, I knew what we were planning to put on this wall to prepare for Easter. And he said, a couple of years ago, he said, we built this wall and we started writing names on wall. And I immediately got interested. Like, whoa, where's this wall? I didn't see this when I looked around the building. And he said, oh, it's in a back room. It's in a storage room. We pull it in and out. Specific certain times. And I said, I want to see this wall, please, because we're getting ready to do, I didn't know anyone else had done this. We're getting ready to do the same thing. And so I wanted the idea to be able to see it and their example and expression of it. But he's telling me the story. He said, man, this guy today, he said, someone, a coworker, wrote his name on the wall. And we started praying for him, like every name on the wall. And he said, today was his 1 year clean and sober. Today was 1 year. But he said, what's really cool is a year ago when he got saved, because someone wrote his name on the wall, before he left the service that day, he wrote his best friend's name on the wall. Because something happened to me today and I need my buddy to get this too. So he wrote his friend's name on the wall. He said, guess what? Today, which is when I was there, he said the best friend, it was his first time to come to church. Been praying for him a year. Wrote his name on the wall a year ago. But today, that man got saved. Listen. How awesome is God. How awesome is God. And their portable wall that they move in and out was filled with names, stories, testimonies. It's the same thing that's going to happen for us. people's names that you write on that wall. We're going to be able to cross them out at some point to say, look, that one's done. God got them. He did a work in their life. Who is your one? Who is it? And you know what? Today you may be the one. You may be in this room today saying, you know what, Pastor Darrell, I hear you preaching about others, but I am the other. I'm the one who's in crisis and pain, and my heart is broken, and my life is in shambles. Maybe I'm addicted. Maybe I'm running, but somehow I got into this service. Somehow I found this stream. It's not an accident. Today is your day. Today is your day to say yes to Jesus. Would you bow your heads across the room? We're closing in just a moment. But not before we pray. I wonder if there's anyone, no reason for you to be embarrassed or ashamed or nervous at all, but with heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if you would say, Pastor Darrell, make sure, don't miss me, include me in that prayer today. Would you just raise your hand if you want to be included? I want to be saved. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. What do I do? I don't even know. I didn't raise my hand because I don't even know. I don't know what you're going to ask me to do. First of all, I'm not going to ask you to do anything. But sit right where you are for the next moment. The beautiful thing about the Lord and His mercy is that you don't have to know how to pray. You don't have to know what words to use. Sometimes all you got is, oh, 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 oh. Sometimes you don't even know what to pray. It's just your spirit that groans within you. Your heart cries out. But I'm happy to give you some words. Say these with me. Say, Jesus, I don't want to miss my moment. I don't want to miss my opportunity. Today is my day. This is my moment. Today I repent of my sin. Sorry. I've done a lot I'm not proud of. Made so many mistakes. Fumbled the ball so many times. But Lord, you kept me alive to get me to this moment. And today, I say yes. Today I give my heart to you. I give my broken life, my messed up circumstances, I give it to you. But let me tell you, sir, let me tell you, ma'am, what God is about to give to you. Forgiveness. It is salvation. So today I thank you, Lord, for what you're taking from me and what you're giving me in return. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Can we give praise to God? Come on, the Bible said that the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner repents. There ought to be a church rejoicing for people who've said yes to Jesus today. Why don't you stand with me across the room today? God is so good. God is so good. Please take a moment today. Please take a moment. We've got multiple Sharpies. Please don't use your own pen. Please don't use your own writing apparatus. We've got to protect our wall and take care of it. Please use one of the provided Sharpies and write that name. Write that name. Write that name. Write that name. No, children, this is not a spot for pictures. We love you. We love you. We love you. These are names. These are stories. These are soon to be testimonies. Amen. To worship you, I live.
To worship you, I live. I live to worship you.
If you need prayer today, I'd love to stay and pray with you. I'm happy to stay and walk with you the next few moments. If you want to be baptized, listen, if you prayed for this, if you said yes, get one of these books on either one of these yes banners. It'll bless you. It'll build you. It'll help you. It's free. God bless you today. Put a name on the wall. Let's believe God. I'm bringing this person on Easter. I'm seeing their life changed in the next few weeks, the next few months. To worship you.
To worship you, I live.
Yes, I do.
To worship you, I live.
I live.
To worship you.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh. Oh.
To worship you.